Good afternoon, everybody. The credit to the presentation I'm about to give goes to Justin O'Day, who is a graduate student who came up with the idea for this project, produced all the slides, and I'm on his committee. The other people that helped out with this project were Justin's PI, lead committee members, Perry Miller, Kathy Zabinski is also on the committee, and Eli was the statistician that helped with some fairly complicated stats on this project. The first picture that I show here is our most dominant cropping system in Montana. Wheat fallow is still king in most of Montana. So the question that we asked is fallow wheat sustainable? Most people would say it's been recognized as being fairly unsustainable, at least for the last century. Summer fallow is known to be destructive to soil organic matter, also results in nitrate leaching, and in some areas of the region, in saline seeps. Wheat monocropping also increases pest pressure. So what are some ways we can address sustainability in our region? One would be to reduce tillage, which allows for fallow elimination and intensified cropping. A second would be diversifying cropping systems and doing what we can to increase nitrogen fertilizer independence. So how can we do that? Well, one option would be increasing the amount of legumes in our rotation, either as grain crops or as green fallow or green manure or some sort of forage crop. And they all seem to be very promising fallow replacements in our region. However, there are some legume adoption barriers. For one, nitrogen benefits are inconsistently detected in the short term. If there's no nitrogen benefit, then there likely will be a reduced adoption potential. Question we asked is, do nitrogen benefits manifest in the long term? And are there more than just nitrogen benefits? The answer would be yes, based on a few long-term studies primarily conducted in Canada. However, there's limited long-term studies, especially in the U.S. region of the Northern Great Plains and under no-till management. So our questions first were, do legumes increase soil nitrogen supplying power? Second, is soil quality enhanced by legumes, especially compared to fertilized wheat? And what are the effects of legume nitrogen versus fertilizer nitrogen on soil quality? So our methods, we used an eight-year-old rotation study in Bozeman, Montana, which is in southwest Montana. We get about 17 inches of rain per year. This shows the cropping system in the first year of the rotation. You can see some fallow systems in there. And this is the cropping system in the second year of this two-year rotation study. We selected to just focus on four of the nine cropping systems within that larger study. And those included, they were all no-till systems. They included fallow wheat, continuous wheat, legume green manure wheat, where legume green manure is simply an annual legume pea grown for a short period of time, generally just to flower, and then terminated with glyphosate. And our final rotation is a pea wheat system. We used four sensitive indicators of soil quality change. We did a literature review. We tried to determine what soil quality indicators seemed to change the quickest, knowing that this wasn't a very long-term study. It was kind of more of a medium-range study. And those included potentially mineralizable carbon, potentially mineralizable nitrogen, microbial biomass carbon, and wet aggregate stability. We measured PMC and PMN. We also added urea fertilizer to half of our soils to see what the effect of nitrogen fertilization would be on these two parameters. We did an aerobic incubation over 112 days, taking samples at 7, 14, 28, 56, and 112 days. And we measured PMC with CO2 evolution. We measured PMN with cumulative ammonium plus nitrate accumulation. MBC was measured by substrate or glucose-induced respiration, meaning microbial biomass carbon, and water aggregate stability was measured in the 1 to 2 millimeter aggregate fraction by using water agitation on 1 millimeter sieves. Our statistical analysis, we used a model, a nonlinear mixed effects model, to predict what this asymptote would be for PMC and PMN. We used a linear mixed effects model for microbial biomass carbon and wet aggregate stability. And we did both plan contrast on our group systems, meaning our gross level, so comparing things like wheat versus legume, and we also did independent or fine level system pairs. We also looked at unfertilized versus nitrogen fertilized for PMC and PMN. And the significance level you'll see on our figures are for P less than or equal to 0.1. So moving on to our results. This first figure shows potentially mineralizable carbon on the y-axis in milligrams per kilogram, and our four rotations across the x-axis. So fallow, continuous wheat, legume green manure wheat, and pea wheat. What should stand out is the legume green manure wheat had the highest level of potentially mineralizable carbon, significantly higher than both fallow wheat and continuous wheat. And when we group these systems, the two legume systems came out significantly higher than the wheat systems. When we add in the effects of nitrogen fertilizer on PMC, what we find, here we have no nitrogen, and here we have the added nitrogen. What we find is that in two of the four cases, the continuous wheat and the pea wheat, we actually had significantly lower potentially mineralizable carbon when we added nitrogen fertilizer than when we didn't. We also found a crop by nitrogen interaction, and our high intensity systems, we actually had a nitrogen effect of about 240 milligrams per kilogram, meaning nitrogen fertilizer decreased PMC by 240 milligrams per kilogram. When we look at potentially mineralizable nitrogen, we see some fairly similar results. The two legume systems had significantly higher PMN than the two wheat systems. Over in the nitrogen, when we added nitrogen, we saw significantly lower PMN than we did when we didn't add nitrogen. Legumes grouped had significantly higher PMN than the two wheat systems, and the nitrogen effect caused 13 milligrams per kilogram less nitrogen release than from our control. That finding was a surprise to me. I've always really focused on carbon to nitrogen ratios. We add nitrogen fertilizer, we should lower the C to N ratio. To me, we should increase mineralization. However, what we found was the opposite. And Justin did a very extensive literature review and found that this is more the norm than the exception in the literature, that when you add nitrogen fertilizer, you actually inhibit nitrogen mineralization. And the reason seems to be the type of community, the type of microbial community that you benefit by adding nitrogen fertilizer seems to promote a community that's very good at using very labile carbon, but not very good at using the more recalcitrant carbon. And if you want to look at any of those literature citations, I have a list of those. Moving on to microbial biomass and wet aggregate stability, this first graph is microbial biomass carbon in milligrams carbon per kilogram of soil. Here we found that the pea wheat system had significantly higher microbial biomass carbon than the two wheat systems. And the legume systems here again had higher microbial biomass carbon than the wheat systems. Wet aggregate stability had a somewhat different pattern than we've seen in the other figures. Specifically, the two more intense systems, meaning the ones where we were recropping, where we had a crop every year, the continuous wheat system shown here and the pea wheat system shown here had significantly higher wet aggregate stability than our two less intense systems, our fallow wheat system and our legume green manure wheat system. And I'm guessing that difference is just due to higher residue in our recrop systems. So in conclusion, legumes increase labile carbon and nitrogen. By increasing the soil nitrogen supply, we think that the legume nitrogen benefit should manifest over time. We did see the potential to increase, that legumes increase potentially mineralizable carbon more than in the fertilized continuous wheat systems. We also think that based on our results, that legumes may increase plant soil end synchrony, meaning that they release their nitrogen more in agreement with plant uptake than the fertilized non-legume systems. They do this by either increasing microbial biomass pools and also causing an incremental release of nitrogen compared to nitrogen fertilizer. We also found that intensifying cropping improves soil structure. Our wet aggregate stability about doubled in our more intense cropping systems. And finally, the soil quality shifts that we saw in this no-till study seem to agree with what we found in the literature in tillage-based studies. I'd like to acknowledge the Montana Wheat and Barley Committee for supporting this long-term study and a list of individuals that helped out with this project. Any questions? Yes. For the MBC and the MBN, PMN, the potentially mineralizable carbon and potentially mineralizable nitrogen were both collected in the spring, right about the time of seeding. So it would be a time when urea fertilizer would typically be applied. Other questions? Yeah, Mark. Of the remaining soil? We didn't, but tell me why you ask.
Well, I'm kind of wondering about maybe a possible slight acidification or an increase in the concentration of, salinity, but your anions could bump up to a level which may be
inhibitory. Okay. We did not look at that. I'll talk to Justin about that. Thank you.